Relive the moments that were etched in history. This is Radio Islam International. The world is our community.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته A very warm welcome to this week's edition of Revival in Motion. On this week's program, inshallah, we'll be continuing with our series on Surah Maryam and exploring the gems and lessons that are there for you and I to learn from. May Allah grant us barakah in our learning. Ameen. Today we continue with ayah number 22. So previous to this, we had completed until ayah number 21 of Surah Maryam. And today, inshallah, we will continue onwards from ayah 22. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the barakah in our time. Ameen, ya rabbal alameen. If you've been joining us on the series, you may know that we have been encouraging our sisters to take part in a learning challenge. And this challenge is all about memorizing Surah Maryam as we journey through the gems of the surah. We have sisters who are memorizing it for the first time. We have other sisters who are working on improving their tajweed. And some sisters who have learned the surah, memorized it before, but are now revising it and improving, strengthening its hifz. So wherever you are in your Quran journey, we would love to meet you at that point and join you there. So for sisters, you are welcome to send in your voice notes of your recording to me and I will give you feedback on it. Most importantly, please, if you're memorizing the surah along with us, please ensure that you're revising daily from the beginning of the surah. So for those sisters who'd like to send through their voice notes, the way that you can is either through email or WhatsApp. The email address, hana@radioislamlive.com, or via text, meaning WhatsApp or Telegram, to +60 13 260 8592. But before we continue with ayah 22 onwards of Surah Maryam, we begin with our first segment, which is really about reflections and reminders. Today, we're turning our focus to a classic topic. Classical because it is part of the foundation of Islam and one that we return to often to remind our hearts. Today's topic is on safeguarding and improving our salah. And today I look forward to sharing with you tips on how you and I can both improve and safeguard our salah. So to begin and to lay the foundation, we turn to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is both advice, information, and motivation to help you and I preserve and safeguard our salah and perform it in a proper manner, inshallah. The first tip is to perform wudu, the ablution, properly. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith recorded in Sahih Muslim, Allah made compulsory upon himself to admit into paradise any Muslim who properly performed wudu, then prays 2 rak'ah with attentiveness and submissiveness. The second is to leave your house in the state of wudu. So making it a habit to be in a state of wudu. Even if you're at home, if you're in a state of wudu and you hear the adhan, it's much more likely you will read your salah on time immediately. Whereas if you're not in wudu, you may think, well, I need to stop what I'm doing to go and make wudu. And okay, let me delay it a few more minutes and read later. And we generally know what happens in that instance for many of us. We end up making that salah qada or rushing to read it later on, especially prayers like Asr, Maghrib, where we're in between fetching or dropping off school rounds, getting back from work or cooking. So being in a state of wudu makes it so much easier for us to be praying our salah on time and with calmness, inshallah. So leave your house in a state of wudu. And if you, whether you're working or whether you're just at home, but just keeping yourself in the state of wudu is an excellent habit to have. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The one who leaves his house in a state of wudu to perform an obligatory prayer will get the reward of pilgrimage." This is mentioned in the hadith book of Ahmad. So for our brothers as well, let's encourage them, husbands, sons, fathers, to leave their home in the state of wudu and to receive that reward of pilgrimage from Allah. Then in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very keen to perform salah as soon as its time was due, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, "The best of deeds is performing salah on its due time." The best of deeds is performing salah on its due time. Another tip for improving and upgrading the quality of our commitment to salah is be keen to perform it with a jama'ah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Prayer with the congregation is 27 multiples better than praying alone." So if it's such that you have family members home and you can perform it in jama'ah, then do try and do that. The next is to be keen to reach before the imam utters the initial Allahu Akbar, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whoever prays 40 days with the congregation attending the initial," meaning the Allahu Akbar of the prayer, "will be free of two things, hellfire and hypocrisy." This hadith is mentioned in Ahmad. And when we think about the du'as that we read daily from the Quran and Sunnah, we know there is a great emphasis on seeking refuge and seeking protection from these two, meaning the hellfire and hypocrisy. When it comes to how we go to the masjid, to be keen to walk to the masjid, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith mentioned in Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi, "Give glad tidings to those who walk to the masjid during dark with complete light on the day of resurrection." As part of upgrading or improving our salah, remember to work at being attentive with your heart while performing your salah. So how can we be attentive with our heart while we perform salah? Well, understanding what we're reading. If that means going back to revise, to review, what does it mean when I say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la or Subhana Rabbi al-Azim or Rabbana walaka al-hamdu? What do these terms mean? Do I remember the meaning of Al-Fatiha? Do I know what I'm saying and asking and praising in these verses? Do I know the meaning of Tashahud and the Durood Ibrahim? All of these are very important to helping us develop khushu' in our salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. It's also important for us to revise regularly the rulings of salah and the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another thing that's really important that many of us tend to neglect is to beware of eating, drinking and laughing too much, because this makes performing salah heavier on the heart. When it comes to Fajr, the basic reminders like setting your alarm or getting someone to wake you up is important. Another way that we can upgrade our salah is in pondering on the verses that we recite in salah. And one of the ways in which we can ponder over what we're reciting in salah is to be aware of what we're reading. So again, the importance of knowing what we're saying in our salah, this cannot be underestimated. Another piece of advice is to think about the glory, the greatness of Allah before you start your salah. One way in which to upgrade our salah experience is to always say the sunnah, du'as and adhkar after salah. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, said, there are five ranks of people in relation to salah. First is he who transgresses against himself by neglecting parts of wudu, its timings, and some of its conditions, and he will be punished. Second is he who maintains its timings and conditions, but his mind is occupied during salah, and he will be questioned. Third is he who maintains its timings and conditions and all its rights and struggles against himself, not to become busy thinking of something else, so he is in a state of jihad while praying, and he will be forgiven. Fourth is he whose heart is fully consumed by salah during his prayer, and his main concern is establishing it properly and perfectly, and he is in a state of servitude to his Lord, and he will be rewarded. Fifth is he who does as the fourth, but in addition, he sets his heart in the hands of his Lord, watchful of his Lord, glorifying and honoring him as if he can see his Lord. His mind is concentrated on praying, and this type is far higher than any other rank, and he is close to his Lord and will have the pleasure of being close to his Lord in the hereafter. Now the question is, which one of these five ranks do you fit in? Hold yourself accountable and weigh it according to your performance of salah, because it is an accurate scale. Now, when it comes to glorifying the status of salah, meaning within our hearts, and improving and upgrading the quality of our salah, there are four main things that we can remember, and if we apply them, they can impact positively and improve the quality of our salah. Number one, performing the salah on time. Number two, to perfect the conditions of salah and the compulsory acts of salah, meaning perfect the shurut, the conditions of salah, and that which is fard and wajib. Again, it's an ideal opportunity to set aside some time for this weekend to review your notes on the fard and the wajibat of salah. Number three, rush to perform it. Now, this does not mean rush to complete the salah, but meaning being eager and rushing to be on your prayer mat to perform your salah on time. And number four, to feel sorrow if any portion of your salah was performed improperly, like the one who becomes saddened for not performing it with jama'ah because he missed out on the 27 multiples of reward. Or if he was inattentive during salah, for a salah without complete submission is like a body without a soul. So again, four ways, four tools that can help you and I tremendously. Number one, perform the salah on time. Number two, perfect its conditions and compulsory acts. Number three, rush to perform it, meaning don't delay. Number four, feel sorrow if any part of your salah was performed improperly. So these are some tips that can help you and I in this journey of upgrading and improving upon our salah. Salah is not something that if we've been praying it for 5 or 10 years or 30 years of our lives, that we just continue in that motion, but rather not only that we continue, but we always check in. We always observe, how am I continuing to improve my salah? Because this is the definition of establishing our salah. May Allah make us of those who establish salah in their lives. Ameen. When we come back in the second segment, we're going to continue our series on Surah Maryam. And today we take off with ayah number 22 of Surah Maryam, Surah 19. I'll give you time during this break to get your mushaf and your notebooks ready. We resume after the break, inshallah. Stay with us. A warm welcome to the second segment, and I'm sure you're ready to continue with the program as we head off into our series on Surah Maryam, inshallah. We are now at ayah number 22 of Surah number 19. So a very warm welcome to you. Now, if we turn to Surah Maryam and we look at ayah verse number 19, verse number 19 begins as follows. In ayah number 19, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us now, ayah number 22, we continue as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here more about the story of Maryam, and he tells us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فحملته فانتبذت به مكانا قصيا. So she conceived him and withdrew with him to a remote place. You will want to note that in this ayah, if you're memorizing the first two words, may need a bit more practice. Some people tend to find the second word, فانتبذت, a bit tongue-twisting. So take your time with each alphabet, with each letter, and inshallah, it will be easier to pronounce. So let us break up this ayah into smaller portions as we do, so we can have an understanding of what we have read here. فَحَمَلَتْهُ. So she conceived him. Maryam radiallahu anha carried him, meaning Isa alayhi salam, in her stomach. This shows that when she was pregnant like a normal lady. So this truly shows the power, the might, the grand ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Though Allah is able to make her have a child without being pregnant, subhanallah. فَانْتَبَذَتْ بِهِ مَكَانًا قَصِيًّا. And she withdrew with him to a far place. This far place is Bethlehem, Bethlehem. It's a valley about 4 to 6 miles from Jerusalem. Now, during her pregnancy, Maryam radiallahu anha was secluded in her worship. And when it reached time to deliver, she was inspired to go to a faraway place. Imagine the difficulty of her test. She is far away from the people, far from her parents, and she has no husband, plus she is close to delivering a baby. So she went to a faraway place because she was afraid of being exposed, though she had not done anything wrong. But not everyone understands the greatness and the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, everyone knows that she's a worshipper and a devotee of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if she's seen like this, then people might put down the deen, the religion, to say, look at someone devoted and secluded, and this is what happens. Subhanallah. That's why we make dua, and that's why we need to make this dua, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we not be a fitna to disbelievers. When she was worshipping, when Maryam radiallahu anha was worshipping, it was Sharqiyya. This is Masjid al-Aqsa. But here it's Qasiyya, which means the farthest place. There is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he went for the Isra and Mi'raj, and he was in the Masjid al-Aqsa and met all of the messengers alaihi wasallam. And when asked where he first reached, he said, at the place where Isa alaihi salam was born, which is Bethlehem. Bethlehem. It is part of a longer hadith mentioned in the Sunan of An-Nasa'i. Do you know where you have prayed? You have prayed in Bethlehem, where Isa alayhi salam was born. Then I entered Bayt al-Maqdis, where the Prophets alayhi salam were assembled for me, and Jibreel brought me forward to lead them in prayer. Then I was taken up to the first heaven, where I saw Adam alayhi salam. Then I was taken up to the second heaven, where I saw the maternal cousins, Isa and Yahya alayhi salam. So this is ayah number 22 of Surah Maryam. Now moving on to ayah number 23, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَأَجَاءَهَا الْمَخَاضُ إِلَى جِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتْتُ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًّا. Then, and this is the translation, then the pains of labor drove her to the trunk of a palm tree. She cried, "Alas, I wish I had died before this, and was a thing long forgotten." Another translation of it is, "And the pains of childbirth drove her to the trunk of a date palm. She said," meaning Maryam said, "Would that I had died before this, and had been forgotten and out of sight." Again, let us take this ayah into smaller sections to get a better understanding. فَأَجَاءَهَا الْمَخَاضُ, and the pains of childbirth. Out of Allah's mercy, Maryam did not deliver on her way or on the road. No one knows when their time of delivery will be exactly. For some it's earlier, for some it's later. We know that nowadays with medical advancements, doctors are able to provide an estimated date or week. But truly only Allah knows the exact date and the exact time, right to the millisecond, of when you will be born. So no one knows their time of delivery. For some it's earlier, for some it's later. But it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who inspired Maryam radiallahu anha to leave at the correct time. Al-makhadu means contractions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to make her deliver without pain. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the same Maryam radiallahu anha food that was out of season in Al-Aqsa when she was worshipping. And Zakariya alayhi salam comes to check in and check in on how she's doing, and he sees this food that's out of season and asks her, how did she get this? And she says, this is from Allah. He gives without accountability. So verily, if Allah could do that, then of course he could help her to and make it such that she's able to deliver without pain. But this is to teach us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is best for us. And even going through pain is an elevation in ranks for her. You see, we don't know what worship Allah wants from us. This is important for us to recognize. It's important for us to be aware of. Maryam radiallahu anha was a worshipper. And someone might see this pregnancy as a distraction from her worship. But this decree is part of the worship as well. Subhanallah. Aja'aha is different from ja'aha. With the additional alif that has the hamza, it means that the labor pain made her to move towards another place. Subhanallah. Ila jidha'in nakhla, drove her to the trunk of a date palm. So Maryam moved to the trunk of the date palm tree. Jidh'i is specifically the trunk of a tree that is dry and old, meaning dead. So she wasn't under a blooming, blossoming tree or plant, no. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know, is full capable and can put her under in the most beautiful place. But it is Allah who knows that she can handle this. Her situation from the outside looks very, very difficult. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants our Maryam, wants her to see the mercy of Allah by seeing herself before and after. When you look at your past, you see your darkness, and then you appreciate the light you have. You will see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through nurturing. And you will see this mercy before and after. How? Look at yourself before and then look at yourself after with nurturing. Remember yourself 10 years back and now. The believer understands and submits to the nurturing and the decree in order to be elevated. You don't want to be in this life without accepting the nurturing and not changing for the better. Maryam, radiallahu anha, leaned back on the trunk of the tree, which is hard. Imagine, she's in contractions. You're not thinking about your back. We know people take epidurals in their back, right? Subhanallah. She's even afraid that she'd lose her patience. She doesn't want to lose her worship. But what she's going through is a practical part of worship. Just as you're patient with worship, you need to be patient with the decree. قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا. She said, would that I had died before this. She'd wish to be dead before seeing this day. You need to understand that she believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She trusts Allah. But why would she wish to be dead? Because she was afraid that she would fail her test and herself would disappoint her, so she would lose her position with Allah. Some scholars have said that to wish to die in a time of great fitna is permissible, but not because they disbelieve in Allah, but because they are afraid of losing their faith. وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًّا, and had been forgotten and out of sight. So we learn that Maryam radiallahu anha wished to be forgotten and neglected because she is a known woman and a worshipper, and many people look up to her. Anyone who's the center of anything, then it's more fitna for them. So Maryam wants to be someone who just came and went without people noticing her. When someone goes through a very difficult situation, they just wish to be swallowed by the earth and forgotten. When you're in a position of faith and knowledge, then the stress is greater of being in that so-called spotlight. Maryam radiallahu anha is a worshipper and a woman, and imagine what she's going through. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that Maryam wished to die and be forgotten out of her shyness and being ashamed. And we know that Maryam radiallahu anha received glad tidings from Jibreel, but she forgot it in that moment. Similar to the companions who got glad tidings of paradise, but they forgot it. They didn't rely on the glad tidings because they're afraid of themselves, that they can fail. They're afraid that their hearts can change. They feel that every moment is a test. Subhanallah. They are complete slaves. They are the ones truly worshipping Allah until death comes. You and I, we need to be afraid that our own selves can fail us. Don't ever think, I'm chosen, I'm from the Ummah of Rasulullah. Remember the tests, and remember the tests we need to pass. Because imagine, they are the chosen people, the Sahaba, the Anbiya alayhimus salam, Maryam, amongst the best of women, radiallahu anha, and they're afraid of their own selves. So what about us? As long as we are alive, then the tests will still keep coming. We cannot feel we've gotten our results, we've achieved, and we're ready for Jannah. That's why in Surah Al-Hijr, Ayah 99, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ, and worship your Lord until there comes unto you al-yaqeen, the certainty, which is death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us all in faith, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Join us after the break as we continue with ayah number 24 of Surah Maryam. Stay with us. A warm welcome to this last segment of the hour. We're continuing with ayah number 24 of Surah Maryam. In ayah number 24, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَنَادَاهَا مِنْ تَحْتِهَا أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيَّا. So a voice reassured her from below her, "Do not grieve. Your Lord has provided a stream at your feet." Alhamdulillah. Let us continue with ayah 24. So the translation can also be understood as, then Isa alayhi salam cried unto her from below her, saying, "Grieve not, your Lord has provided a water stream under you." Now you have to know that with the difficulty, there is ease. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Inshirah, Surah Alam Nashrah, "Inna ma'al usri yusra." With the difficulty, there is ease. Difficulty, al-usr, is defined. So it's just one. And with it, yusra, ease. And it's undefined to show many, many levels or forms of ease. So difficulty is singular. It's defined. But yusra, ease, is multiple, all right? But in times of difficulty, what happens? We are looking at only the problem. So we need to be sensitive, we need to be observant and believe that there are many levels of ease around us. فَنَادَاهَا مِنْ تَحْتِهَا. So then the baby, Isa alayhi salam, or as some mufassirin say, Angel Jibreel, cried unto her from below. In Tafsir al-Sa'di, it is said that the angel Jibreel called to Maryam alayhi salam from below, as if being a level below. Other tafsir said that when Maryam radiallahu anha gave birth to Isa alayhi salam, he spoke to his mother. For example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salam the asa, the staff that could turn into a snake, he allowed him to see it before going to the magicians and seeing it happen for the first time. This is to give him confidence. Similarly, before Maryam radiallahu anha would show her son and he would speak for the first time in front of the people and in front of her, Isa alayhi salam spoke to his mother first to give her assurance. This shows us in times of distress, people need support. So when you see someone in distress, please support them. Don't judge them. Don't question them. Don't assume what they're saying. Just listen, be there, support them. And if you are in distress, you need to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support you and will send someone to support you. But people are seeking support from others. Subhanallah. Don't run behind a slave. Run behind the master. The more you run behind the slave, the more you become the slave. Sometimes we have a problem and in our mind we think it must be this one person who should help me. And you will find everyone is coming to help except that one person. Or sometimes we're making dua and we're saying it must be this one person to help us. Right? But what is the first support given to Maryam radiallahu anha? Think about it. Allah tahzani, saying, "Grieve not." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell Maryam radiallahu anha to be patient, but don't be sad. This shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of her feelings first. And this shows you so much mercy. Subhanallah. Imagine someone is in a problem and you tell them, Be patient, be patient. They can't handle it at that point. But it's about the feelings, the emotions first. So yes, it is about the feelings first. The Quran is teaching us everything. Subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Maryam radiallahu anha to not be sad. It shows us that, yes, we have feelings that need to be addressed sometimes even before food and drink. Allah is telling us also in the Quran, in Surah Al-Qasas, that even the mother of Musa alayhi salam, Allah tells her to not be sad. But for the men, for Musa alayhi salam, for example, he's told, don't be afraid. Subhanallah. We know that after giving birth, some ladies can be sad, have postnatal depression. And Allah is telling Maryam here, don't be sad. And what is the other support? قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيَّةً. Your Lord has provided a water stream under you. Meaning, there is a stream under you. It's to show, don't look at your problem. Look at your surroundings also. Shaitan wants us to be sad, and he just brings back bad memories. So the advice is not to stare at your problem, but start looking at your surroundings. Look at the most beautiful things around you. Someone who's depressed will see things as very much grey or black. So make them look at something beautiful. Make them look at something calming or peaceful around them. In this case, Maryam radiallahu anha is told to look at the beautiful stream of water next to her. Now we know that Maryam radiallahu anha is already in a problem and distress. When someone is in a problem, be careful of just commanding them to be patient. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, you are Maryam, the worshipper, etc. Rather, don't be sad. Look at something beautiful. Look at your surroundings and focus on it. And by itself, it will relieve you. Go somewhere, look at something, beautiful scenery. It is a positive way of overcoming. You may not be able to change the situation, but the solution is to divert your thinking. Also, water itself is relief, right? Look at the sea, the ocean, the river, rain falling, waterfalls. And even if you can't travel with a lockdown, right? Even if you don't have the means or access to somewhere with water, online, right? The sound of rainfall, you can find them online without any music, just the sound of rainfall. For some people, that's so relaxing and calming. Or looking at pictures of the ocean. Alhamdulillah. So even in your home, in your room, in your car, you can make a little change to make you feel happy. And the word sariya means relief. When you change the scenery, when you go somewhere else, when you see other people, it helps. Look at how the Quran is teaching us. And what is the next support? Ayah 25 teaches us what exactly is the next support. And we're going to now look at ayah number 25, which reads as, وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا. And shake the trunk of this palm tree towards you. It will drop fresh, ripe dates upon you. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here told Maryam radiallahu anha to shake the trunk of the date palm. Imagine she has just delivered and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can easily bring food to her, bring angels with food or bring her mother. But the solution is to get up and move. This is mercy for her. When you're active, it relieves you. We think that when we're doing everything for someone in a problem, it's relieving. But it can make them feel even more upset. more depressed, to see that they're totally dependent and can't do anything. It can make them feel useless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that mercy comes in different ways. And you need to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring mercy that is suitable for you and your situation. You just need to ask Allah to have mercy on you. Mercy is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides you to all good and protects you from all evil. When you follow the Quran and Sunnah, that is all mercy. For example, when there's a death, the sunnah for condolence is to just say salam and leave. Not to sit and inconvenience the family that's grieving and expect them to feed you and expect them to check that you are okay and you have a towel for wudu, etc. No. Because we know that in times of death, yes, we want to know we have the support when we're grieving over the death of a loved one. We want to know we have the support of community, family, friends, neighbors. However, at the same time, you also want time to be alone, right? To process what's happening. This is a mercy from Allah. Anyway, coming back to Ayah 25 of Surah Maryam. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجَذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. Shake the trunk of the date palm. And the بِجِذْعِ, the ba, so جِذْ is the date palm, but the letter ba before it, the ba, shows as if your hand is part of the trunk attached to it. It shows that you need to take the means, even if they don't work and are disabled, because she can't shake a tree trunk. But the point is to make the means, even if you're weak, and Allah will bring the results. This shows tawakkul, and it's a mercy to do this action. The palm tree is dead, but still Maryam radiallahu anha needs to take the means. Subhanallah. تساقط عليك رطبا جنيا. It will let fall fresh ripe dates upon you. And so the fruits fell, although it's a dead tree, and this is a miracle from Allah. Because Maryam obeyed Allah, and so he made the tree green and bear fruit. Similarly, the wife of Zakariya alayhi salam was a barren woman, and Allah made her fertile and give birth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things. We also learn from many holistic practitioners that in a time of depression, foods that people may want to have is sweet. And rutab is a fresh date. Have you ever had rutab dates, either in Mecca or Medina, or back in your own city or town in Ramadan? Yes? So people tend to crave more sweet in those times when they're feeling down. Right, even when we break the fast, the sunnah is to break it with dates. And the preference is rutab, fresh dates, not dry dates. Isa alayhi salam is born when there is rutab. This is in summer, not winter, subhanallah. And janiyya means beneficial, ripe, very easy to get. And with that, we conclude today at ayah number 25. Inshallah, in our next episode, we're going to continue with ayah 26. What happens when Maryam radiallahu anha shakes the date palm tree and the dates fall? What happens next to her and to Isa alayhi salam? We're going to find out all of that, inshallah, in next week's program. But for now, we conclude with a dua. We ask, make a dua today for all married couples. May Allah cement the matrimonial bond with taqwa, illuminate it with sunnah, perfume it with happiness, shower their marriage with mercy, garland it with prosperity, bless it with afia, develop it with love, strengthen it with understanding, protect it with his helping hand, Beautify it with the Quranic renditions and fill it with offspring and crown it by utilizing them for deen globally and umrah annually. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. That brings us to the close of this week's edition of Revival in Motion. Join me next week as we continue with Ayah 26 of Surah Maryam. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.